Welcome to the Open House podcast site, available at openhousecommunity.com.au.
Here's a bright shaft of light shining into a pretty dark place. A group of Melbourne women at the St Kilda Gatehouse reaching out and offering a helping hand, no strings attached, to prostitutes who are often initially wary of their agenda, but they can't help but warm to the unconditional love and support they are offered. This happens at the St Kilda Gatehouse, and its CEO, Sally Tonkin, joins us now on Open House. Sally, welcome.
Thank you.
It's lovely to talk with you. This began, Sally, as a venture from the South Melbourne Church of Christ. There may well be people thinking, what is a nice bunch of Christian people doing, getting so involved with street workers, with, as I said, no strings attached?
Well, from what I've heard, the stories that have been passed on to me, they felt very much called to the area. Many were living in the St Kilda area, and they spent a long time really praying about it before, and they would drive around St Kilda and just, you know, watch and pray over the women and just really waited to make sure that this was something that they were being led into. And I think their initial thoughts were, providing drug and alcohol support and services, but it became very clear that the issues around street sex work was where St Kilda Gatehouse was really needed.
So what kind of issues are they?
Well, most of the women that we see come from very difficult backgrounds. There's, you know, different reasons that their lives take the paths that they do, but the common things we see are homelessness, poverty, abuse from as young as, children, and then, escaping to the streets and seeking safety in unsafe places.
So what's the kind of practical help that you offer these women day to day at the Gatehouse?
Primarily what we do is we provide a place of belonging. So we have a drop-in space that's open during the week, and they come in there and it's a place that they feel is theirs. It's a place where they feel, like I said, that they belong. And they, you know, might sit on the couch, they might get some clothes, get some food. We cook home-cooked meals and hot food. Or just someone to talk to, or a Band-Aid, or, you know, some deodorant or shampoo and conditioner. We meet those most basic needs, and then through engaging with them, we then build up stronger relationships.
How long does that take? Because, as I said, I'm sure they are initially suspicious or hesitant. Mm. How do you dispel those?
Yeah, sometimes people respond, you know, quite quickly to the support and, the unconditional love that we provide. Others, it does take quite a while. And they'll come in and just grab what they need. So they might just grab a bit of food and then walk straight out. They don't engage, don't smile. But they just, over time, you know, just continuing to come in and see that we don't respond to how they react to us. We're just there regardless. That, you know, we see some of the walls broken down and the trust start to build. And we never disrespect that and make sure that we take it slow.
When they just arrive and get some food and nick off.
Yeah.
Is anyone tempted to think I'm just being used here?
No, I think, I mean, there's certainly times when I'm sure we feel that we're taken for granted, but we,
yes.
I mean, that's what we're there for, and, we have to put those feelings aside. There's certainly days when, someone might treat us, behave quite roughly to us or gruffly, but we don't know what's happened, you know, the night before. They might have slept on the streets overnight. They might have been abused by someone. So we try not to take things too personally.
The practical help you offer them extends beyond those day-to-day matters that you mentioned before, to attending interviews with the system, drug treatment,
yeah,
housing, health issues like that?
Yeah, we have a program that we call Navigate. We've discovered that the thing that really holds women back from moving out of street sex work is that they just don't feel that they can navigate the system, navigate those services that are out there for them. It can be quite intimidating, and they're, you know, a little bit wary of mainstream services. So we make sure that we walk alongside them and go through step by step what they're needing to do. So, you know, drug rehabilitation, finding housing, going to court, increasing access to their children if they've lost that. Just really simple things, taking them to hospital, to the doctor, and really being that person who walks alongside them throughout all of that.
Sally, for many of these women, I'm sure trust is a very big thing with the abusers that, as you said, they've suffered often since childhood, judged failures and rejects by society. Yeah. How do you get their trust?
It just takes time. And like I said, just showing that our support is unconditional, I think that's a really huge thing. And just being there regardless and letting them take their time to build their trust. You can't sort of demand trust from someone. You've really got to let them take their time to build that up. Yeah, and some of them, I mean, they come because other people have told them about us and have recommended them to us, but also making sure that the things that we provide and the things we do, we stick to our word and that we're reliable, and, you know, introducing them to other services, we make sure that we first have that trust in that, the other service, before we go ahead and do that. Just, like, continuing to be there regardless.
Yes. Coming from a Christian framework, I'm bound to ask you this at the end of the day, are you just after conversions to the Christian faith?
No, we feel that our call is to be there for them, to support them and to love them and to show them God's love through that. We certainly have many conversations about life and about faith and spiritual issues as they're wanting to. And we would love to see them, you know, in relationship with God. But our role is to be there and provide the unconditional love that God's provided to all of us.
Although I wouldn't be surprised if those conversations lead to those big discussions about life and faith and sometimes people embracing it.
Absolutely. And it's quite, I find it quite interesting because I have a lot of friends who are atheist and, you know, agnostic and all sorts of things. And, you know, we have very robust conversations, but they never shift. But the women at Gatehouse are a lot more open. And I think because of where they're at in life, they're certainly more embracive of faith issues. So it's really interesting and quite humbling to see that.
What do you think it is about where they are in life that they're more ready to do that?
I think they've just been very humbled by life's tough situation. A lot of people have let them down, but they have this, you know, some of them have this great optimism and this hope that there is more out there for them. And that there is, you know, love available to them. So, you know, encouraging those sort of conversations and talking that through is really helpful.
I'm sure those conversations are often initiated by them with this simple question, why do you do this?
Yeah, of course. Yeah, we get asked that. And they know that most of the staff, well, all the staff have made sacrifices to be there, but we all feel very grateful to be there. We feel that we're involved in something that God's doing. And other conversations start, but they often ask, you know, could God possibly love me, you know, with everything that I've done and been through? So that's often a, you know, a conversation that leads on to some deep discussion.
I mean, all you've got to do is look at the life of Jesus, and this picture is kind of so prominent in my head as I speak with you, Jesus eating with sinners and tax collectors.
Mm. I mean, that's our call. So, and if we look at the life that he modelled for us, it sets a great example.
Yeah. Is there one story that you can relate to us on Open House that encapsulates the value of what you do at the St Kilda Gatehouse?
Yeah.
What would that be?
Well, when you were asking me about, you know, how long does it take to build up trust, there was a woman who came to my mind, and I'll call her Beth, and she was one of those women who wouldn't engage, wouldn't smile, would just sort of grab food and head on out. And just slowly seeing that change. She actually had an episode where she was abducted and taken in the back of a panel van, and she saw our concern. When we finally, she was located, she saw our concern for her and she realised that we were genuine. And not long after that, she fell pregnant with her boyfriend, and they wanted to leave the street. They wanted to keep their child. So we explained what was needed to happen, and they just followed everything that we mapped out for them. And, you know, the Navigate program was birthed out of that because we just realised how important it was to take them to the doctor straight away, to get them on methadone, to be applying for housing, which didn't come through until after her water broke. But now they're in stable housing. They've got custody of their other two children back, and, you know, haven't been working on the streets for probably nearly 2 years. And, I mean, they had a raging heroin addiction, both of them each, and just to see that change has just been amazing.
Wow. So are you in it to rescue people from the streets as much as help them while they're there?
I wouldn't use the word rescue because I don't think that would work. The issues that have led them there and also the issues that keep them there are very complex. And you can work really hard on one area and then something else can unravel. You know, and an abusive boyfriend might reappear. They might lose their housing. You know, a whole range of different things could happen. But we hope to provide pathways for them to move out of street sex work and just to be there for them as they take that journey. And even if, you know, they take five steps backwards after they've taken two steps forward, we're still there for them. So it's a long road.
I'm sure, I absolutely know that you're not in this to get something out for yourself, but it must be a tremendously gratifying thing to see when that works.
Yeah, it is. It's very rewarding, very fulfilling, and it's certainly helped shape my faith journey as well.
Sally Tonkin, congratulations on the important work that you do. It's been wonderful for you to join us on Open House. We wish you all the best with it.
Great. Thank you very much.
We hope you enjoyed this Open House podcast. Thanks to Christian Super and Real World Technology Solutions. To hear more from Open House, visit openhousecommunity.com.au.